Sickle cell disease was long considered a pediatric illness because many patients did not survive beyond childhood. But health interventions in the U.S. have made it possible for people with sickle cell to live well into adulthood. The problem is many who age out of pediatric care are faced with a system not designed for them. Side Effects Public Media's Farah Yousri reports.
Philomena Gappo gave birth to twin boys, Paul and Luis, in the early 80s in Kentucky. She pulls out old photos of the boys as we sit together around her dining table.
I see Luis here and Paul with Philip. We traveled, you know.
It's hard to tell them apart. They were identical. And they looked so happy on trips to Ghana and Nigeria, visiting extended family. The photos paint a picture of a happy family life. You'd hardly know the struggles the twins lived through. They were diagnosed with sickle cell disease a few months after they were born. It's a genetic disorder that causes blood cells to become sticky and jammed up in veins, which can starve major organs of oxygen, something that's extremely painful and dangerous. And so the twins were in and out of the hospital for years.
They don't go in together. When one goes in, then he comes out and the other one follows. So, you know, we're in the hospital, you know, like all the time. You know, every month we're there.
Progress on treating sickle cell disease has been slow. Experts say this is due to systemic racism. The vast majority of sickle cell patients in the U.S. are Black. And so even as recently as the 1970s, nearly one out of every three kids with sickle cell died before the age of five. This changed when Congress invested millions to establish sickle cell centers for kids and do more research. And that dramatically improved outcomes for children, which helped families like the Gappos.
We had very good, compassionate pediatric physicians. We just take it day to day and we didn't really know what we were doing, but we had a lot of support.
The Gappos are immigrants from Africa. Philomena says when the kids were little, she worked nights as a clinical scientist and their dad worked the day shift as a university professor. That meant someone was always home to take care of any unexpected sickle cell crises. It was tough, but they had more resources than many. And they felt the system was built to help until the twins became adults.
With no transition, they were out of the house too.
The care looked different, worse in many ways. Philomena remembers when her son Luis got an infection that went untreated and he ended up in the hospital, but specialized doctors were no longer coordinating his care. She says things got so bad so fast.
So, you know, he died from complications of the sickle cell, and I was the last person who saw him.
Luis was 20 when he died, and he's not an anomaly. While life expectancy for kids with sickle cell in the U.S. has risen dramatically, for adults, it's actually been falling every single year in recent decades. Studies suggest the deadliest time for sickle cell patients is young adulthood, and there are many reasons for that. Dr. Julie Cantor is the director of the Adult Sickle Cell Program at the University of Alabama. She says sickle cell complications tend to ramp up as patients grow older. And even with robust pediatric sickle cell care, many families drop off and may not see a hematologist for years. That's often because of structural barriers, or perhaps their child's symptoms become manageable.
So they haven't seen their hematologist since they were 10, and they start having sickle cell related issues when they're 18, 19. They end up seeing whoever.
Whoever might be someone like a family medicine doctor. There is an extreme shortage of sickle cell specialists. Cantor says someone who's unfamiliar with the disease might do things like put patients on really high doses of opioids for long-term use, rather than treating their disease holistically.
The idea that anyone should be able to treat sickle cell disease is as ridiculous to me as anyone should be able to treat breast cancer.
Patients can also end up with other complications, like silent brain strokes, which can affect memory and planning. And when those young patients navigate a complicated system without comprehensive support, the outcomes can be really bad. Paul Gappo is now 37. Losing his twin brother so suddenly at such a young age was like an earthquake to his system. Now he knows to stay on top of his sickle cell care and control what he can.
Okay.
He's scheduled for an exchange blood transfusion today at the University of Kentucky Hospital. It's a routine procedure that he does every 4 weeks or so.
What's actually going to be exchanging his sickled cells for For the fresh red blood cells that we got from the blood bank here.
The nurse places two tubes in a port Paul has embedded under his skin in his upper chest.
Why don't you take a deep breath in and hold it. Coming out.
During the blood exchange, Paul is very calm, especially for someone in such pain. The most he does is silently wince his eyes, but at the same time, he's also very involved and outspoken in the care he receives.
Trying to work on that other side, but I may have to cath flow it.
No, this is too new. I don't think we need cath. Let's just make sure it's in right,
yeah, in the will. I feel like I'm in the right spot.
He often worries about his next pain crisis, which could strike at any time. The worst part is actually having to go to the ER to get the pain meds he needs. Paul says there have been times he wasn't taken seriously by doctors who didn't seem to understand his illness, and that makes him anxious. He often delays seeking care for as long as possible, which means that when he does end up at the ER...
I've tried everything. There's nothing else I can do. I'm scared. I'm fearing for my life at this point that the only option I have is to go to the emergency room and, hope that I get what I need there, you know.
To help advocate for himself, Paul carries a piece of paper with him at all times. It's his sickle cell treatment protocol, signed by his hematologist.
Yeah, so as soon as I get to the ER, after they triage me, I just bring out my protocol. This one's have been used a lot, you can see, and I give it to the doctors and I ask them to follow, this guideline.
He's prepared with hard copies everywhere, in his car, backpack, jacket pockets. It's his way to make sure he's believed and taken care of, to minimize the chance things could go wrong. I'm Farah Yusri, Side Effects Public Media.
This story is supported by a grant from the USC Annenberg Center for Health Journalism. Side Effects Public Media is a regional reporting collaboration focused on public health. You can find more of Farah's reporting on sickle cell disease at sideeffectspublicmedia.org.